What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
start a new business, Gray. Joel Karnick of the Morning Show, Garage Door Servicing.
You're going to get somebody hurt or killed, Joel.
What, I fixed my garage door? What are you talking about?
See, that's legal. But you may not end up as successful with other people's property.
Well, as long as I can come and hang out all day and then occasionally duck inside and watch a little football and grab a cup of coffee and... You know, I'll treat your house as mine for a day. I might be able to get it done.
Yeah, other people call that wage theft, Joel.
The garage door is fixed, is what I'm trying to say.
Should have left it at that, I think.
All right.
I don't want to discourage you from speaking. We've got a job to do here. But just some advice on your future presentation of that fact.
All right, my hot take. I got a take for you today, all right?
Oh, boy.
I got a take for you today. I promised it earlier to our listeners. So here you go. Here you go. This is Joel's take. I have seen a lot of quarterbacks, and I'm a bit long. I'm getting longer of tooth. I've seen quarterbacks come in. They look good. They don't look good. They look great, and then they stink. And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. All right?
Yep.
J.J. McCarthy, it came to me yesterday as he was sailing balls left and right and with inaccuracies that, to me, resembled a young Packer quarterback from 1993, I think it was, when he was 94. He has a Favre feel to me, and I'm not saying he's going to have a Hall of Fame career, but he reminds me a lot of Brett Favre in that when J.J. McCarthy, the Viking quarterback, drops back to pass, He sees it. He sees it developing. He knows it's there. He makes good decisions. He just is so amped up and so excited to be a National Football League quarterback that he can't stop throwing fastballs. And if you watch Brett Favre's first year or two in the NFL, that's the way he was.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, I've seen enough good to give him that time, too. If you gamble on a quarterback and wait for them to get better as a starter, it doesn't always work out. But when it does, you get great things. Favre, Manning, Peyton Manning. You want to look at a season? Check out Peyton Manning's first season.
He threw like 15 interceptions his first four games, I think,
yeah,
four or five games.
Led the NFL in interceptions, and it wasn't close that first year. We're talking about Peyton Manning,
the sheriff.
One of
the greatest of all time.
Yeah, top three, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, don't worry about it. He might still be fine. He might not, and recognizing it's important, but not time to worry yet.
But there's a culture of teams that bleeds into the fandom of that team, and the Vikings culture is, oh, he's no good, go get a veteran. We can't have the 3-13 season. The Packers have the philosophy that usually in the long term will give you more success and a couple of Super Bowls even, where you're patient. Jordan Love's career, he is 26-24-1 in his career. All right. That's not a great record.
No,
that's
not a great record. It's not sparklingly fantastic.
Yeah. No.
Not by any means.
So J.J. McCarthy's 2-2. Should be 3-1 because the special teams yesterday decided they just didn't want to finish the game for the Vikings yesterday. But that's not a great record. But the Packers, they're patient. They're patient with them. They see it, and they're They're committed to Jordan Love. Unless he really, really starts throwing the game away, the organization as a whole is just committed, and there's no chatter.
No reason to be. Jordan is actually very clearly playing better this season than he ever has. Yeah. And if history is anything to be believed, he's about to do even better for the rest of this season than he has been. Not to say we don't have a tough stretch ahead of us, and it's not just going to magically happen, but basically every season about mid-November, Jordan Love heats up, and he ends up with a passer rating over 100, where he's sitting there at about 85 going into that part of the year, and he steps it up a notch. Now, the corresponding time frame. Yep, Joel's Googling it right now. He's Googling Packers and Toyotathon. Toyotathon started 2 days ago. Toyotathon started on Saturday.
It's Love time, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's Packer time.
Jordan Love is a diesel engine, and Toyotathon just so happens to be the light going off that little cold engine indicator on that diesel engine.
Yeah, he does have a tradition of playing well later in the year, so far in his career. But the NFC North is going to be fun. It's going to be fun the last 6-7 weeks here, because you got the Bears that are first place.
Oh, man. Have you seen their post-game locker room tradition now?
No.
That Ben Johnson has a saying, and I think he's been doing it every single time they've won a game this year. He says the same thing in the locker room, and he leads the team in like this chant. And I'll tell you what, it's been so cool, because after their second win, it was like, this is kind of cheesy. And then after the third win, like, you could see more buy-in from the guys in the locker room. And after the fourth win, like, the team was there. And I'm still sitting here, not a Bears fan, thinking this is still a little bit cheesy. But now watching it last night, like, it's getting pretty cool to watch. And what he says is, it's a call and repeat in the locker room. Ben Johnson says, good, better, best. And then they get a repeat, and he says, never let it rest. And then he says, the good get better. Never let it rest until your good gets better and your better gets best. And we're going to be hearing a lot of that unless things change really fast. Like, if you start hearing that outside of this little small town radio show, it's for reasons that Packer fans should fear. If you start hearing good gets better, better gets best, like, that's the sign that the Bears are on the rise. Like, it's the good gets better era. So watch out. I'm calling it now. We're going to hear too much of those words.
9-8.
That's what you're thinking?
I think the Bears finished 9-8.
Joel spent this whole time that I've been ranting looking at the Bears' schedule and deciding what he thinks they're corresponding. So you see five losses coming.
Now, this is not a slam on the Bears, because the Bears have been rough the last several many years. So they've done what they needed to do this year. They've beaten the bad teams. They're 7-3. All of their wins are against under 500 losses, teams with under 500 records. And two of their three losses are against Detroit, Baltimore, and Minnesota. So they haven't beaten anybody, but they haven't really played a lot of great teams either. So they've done what they need to do.
You're right.
So far this year.
You're right. I haven't looked at that list. That's not an impressive list.
So they drew a good draw, and that they're probably going to get Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh this Sunday, with Favre's left wrist apparently fractured or broken.
Slightly fractured. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah. So he's probably not going to play on Sunday.
No.
Even if he does, he's limited. So you figure that's one the Bears can get. And then they've got Cleveland at home later in the year. But their other five games are at Philadelphia, at Green Bay, hosting Green Bay, at San Francisco, and Detroit the last game of the year. So even if it finishes 9-8 for the Bears, I think it's a positive trending thing for them, even if they do crash and burn a little bit at the end of the year.
True.
Because it's not a great team. It's not, but they do. I will say the coaching staff has them doing the little things good. You can see little things in there. They're tackling and just not making dumb penalties. They played well yesterday, and they didn't give it away against Minnesota. They gave themselves a chance, and they got the field goal at the end. That's what the National Football League is. It's the last two possessions is what it is almost every week.
And now that kicks are so long, that's more true than ever before. And also, I appreciate that you look at those two games against Green Bay and think that's going to be a challenge for them. It certainly is. I think especially if the Packers do like they can, and they feature Christian Watson, and if Josh Jacobs can get healthy in reasonable time frame, that knee injury. Toyotathon is here. That knee injury is apparently not season ending for Josh Jacobs. I do definitely worry about the Ben Johnson Bears, though, because the Packers don't ever experience them until December. That's the first time the Packers have ever played these new Ben Johnson Bears. And while they may be, like, except leaving yesterday out of the equation, going into this weekend, the Bears were bottom five or bottom 10 in both offense and defense in games, or in yards and points per game, both what they achieve on offense and what they allowed on defense. They are not statistically impressive compared to their peers by any means, but they've also won four one-score games, like three of those in a row, and a bunch of them were comebacks. So, like, it's a little bit of a storybook method, but they're winning. They're winning a lot. They're at the top of the division right now, and you can't get there in week 11 by accident.
Right, and but, I mean, yesterday they're one kick return away from being 6-4, and people are like, well, the Bears lost when they should have won. I mean, the 50-yard kickoff return with 50 seconds to go, you know, if the Vikings cover that with the way that 95% of the time teams do, where they hit them down at the 25, then the Bears have like 43 seconds to get in field goal range, which, you know, may or may not have happened. But that's what the National Football League is. It's a lot of games that you don't see 42-14. It's a lot at the end. I mentioned this morning, okay? You wake up, it's week, we're going into week 12, I think, here now. And if I would have told you at the beginning of the season that going into week 12, the playoffs right now, if the season were to end, Kansas City, Baltimore, and there's one more really good team in there. Kansas, I'll just say Kansas City and Baltimore, both out of the playoffs.
And what about Buffalo, is it?
I think they're in there. But that's what the National Football League is your ability to lay loss. What did the Chiefs lose, like 19-17 yesterday?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what the league comes down to, is just one or two plays here and there can swing you from 8-2 to 5-5. And Sam Darnold may have returned back to the planet Earth yesterday, possibly. If you notice the replays of Sam Darnold's interceptions yesterday, you'll notice that there were guys at his feet.
Yes.
Right?
In almost every case. Yeah. His offensive line wasn't holding up. And that line has been holding up like a brick wall all season. I haven't looked at those highlights yet. I don't know if they lose a player to injury or something yesterday, because four interceptions from Darnold, that's my first question. Did somebody get hurt?
No, they were just bad throws. They were bad decisions. He was under pressure. Guys were kind of scuttling around his feet, and he just made some pretty bad decisions. Oh, the Lions are the other one. The Lions, the Chiefs, and the Ravens would all be out of the playoffs if a season ended today.
That's whack. The Lions got absolutely robbed last night. I'm going to say that. I'm going to call that out. The Lions got absolutely robbed. And I get it that apparently there was something to be said for an arm getting grabbed in the course of a player jumping for a ball. So it might have technically set us. That was robbery. That was highway robbery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that absolutely ended up determining the course of the game, just like Collinsworth said. Normally, he kind of rubs me a little bit the wrong way, but Collinsworth nailed it. He said, that's going to determine the outcome of the game, and it did. And it did. The Lions should have had a W last night.
Tom Brady yesterday, I thought he was really good in the – he did the Viking game yesterday. I was watching the Packer game, and I was watching the Viking game at the same time. I had the sound on to the Viking game. But Tom Brady was painfully brutal about J.J. McCarthy. He just said the Vikings are doing everything right. McCarthy's just missing receivers. He's just missing guys. He's making bad throws. You know, and that might get better. And then at the end of the game, he said what all of us say a lot, but announcers, he said what the fans say a lot, but what the announcers don't a lot. And that is, the Vikings were going down, trying to get a touchdown to go ahead in the game. And Tom Brady said at least three times, he said, it's crucial. It's crucial that when you're going down and trying to take the lead at the end of the game, that you not leave any time for the other team. Because if you leave time with guys able to hit a 55, 60-yard field goal, which indoors at U.S. Bank Stadium is realistic, you can't leave time. You can't leave. It has to be part of your game plan, he said at one point. You can't just say, oh, we're going to score, and whatever happens, happens. That can't be the game plan. The Vikings left too much time on the clock. And I know the fan will say, well, what if you don't score? Well, if you do score with a minute to go or you don't score, either way, you're probably going to lose. All right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You have to manage that clock, and you have to say, okay, we're going to leave them less than 30 seconds or less than 20 seconds. We can't leave a team with a guy like Caleb Williams and three timeouts and 50 seconds. You just can't do it. You can't do it.
The Commanders-Dolphins game had a similar moment. We were making breakfast for Dad yesterday morning like we do every Sunday, and the Dolphins were having trouble getting into the end zone all game, especially their rushing attack was delivering them right to the doorstep, and then they just couldn't cross that threshold. The Commanders' defensive line, their linebackers were just sniffing out everything. And finally, at one point, near the end of the game, I don't remember the exact specifics, but it was fourth down, I think at the two or the three, they'd just been stuffed, and they went for it again. And my dad was like, why are they going for it? They could take a lead with a field goal. And I was like, yeah, but a field goal lead with 2 minutes left on the clock is nothing.
It's poison.
Now.
It's poison.
It's nothing. No. Believing you have any security. And I mean, even if you've got a great defense, fine. Your great defense may or may not be able to stop the two-minute version of the offense you've been stifling all game. That person you've, like, I hate to use such a horrifying analogy, but you've been holding their head underwater for 55 minutes. That last five, they might swing up with a rock in their hand you had no idea was there. It seems like every team is capable of that now. Mm-hmm. When you've got that, I mean, and even bad kickers. I mean, yesterday, I think the wind had a lot to do with what Haversick was seeing. I don't want to throne him. Even though he came in and I've wanted him and he was bad, I don't want to pretend away the bad, but I think the wind had a lot to do with the missed kicks and the drops yesterday. But even bad kickers, guys who have flopped off teams, I'm wondering what Braden Narveson is up to. Someone might kick the tires on him because you give him a month to prepare the kicking ball and even he might not be that bad.
Yeah, are the Packers looking for McManus is hurt again?
Well, Haversick was the kicker. The Packers have been in weird shape with kickers this year. They paid McManus $15 million an extension in March, but he's been so bad lately that it hasn't even been worth it, and they let him sit out due to injury, but he's been playing injured for the last few weeks, so it's worth asking, is he actually injured and that's why he's sitting out, or is that the excuse the team is using to start the hotter hand? Lucas Haversick came in relief and missed nothing. He was 11 of 11 in the 3 weeks he covered for McManus earlier this season, and now he's no longer 100%, never will be again, sorry about that, but again, it was a very windy day, I think, that might have had to do with the drops. I'll tell you the truth, I'm hoping this is the end of Brandon McManus in Green Bay for reasons you can Google, but also because he's been underperforming. He's been terrible.
Yeah, and Narveson is good enough.
Braden Narveson was the guy who the Packers had last season who was terrible.
Their kicker now.
Haversick,
there we
yes,
go.
Yeah.
So Haversick, you think, is good enough to be the kicker?
I do. He currently holds a franchise record with that 61-yarder, and I don't think that was a fluke. He clearly has to adapt to the wind a little bit. He missed one wide left and another one wide right, but I think the first one was under accounting for the wind, followed by over accounting for it. Mm-hmm. So you undercorrect and then overcorrect, and most of the time you wind up in a ditch calling a tow truck. He just missed a couple kicks, so he can sort that out, I think. And at least he's got the leg. He can get one. That 61 yarder he made might have gone in from 64 when we needed it last week.
Yeah. So the Bears are good shape record wise. The Vikings are 4-6, and they're pretty much the only hope that the Vikings have from here forward is if they win all their division games. If they beat Green Bay twice and beat Detroit, there's a possible chance they could still be there for the division and have the tiebreakers. Other than that, the wild card probably isn't a reality for the Vikings. Are at Green Bay and at Seattle the next 2 weeks. So with J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings are probably already making plans for Jamaica and thinking about next year's schedule right now.
Yeah, that's well, and you've already won too many games to get a decent draft position, so you've got to try to commit to the win and go for a postseason push. I mean, hey, let's be real. The last Super Bowl that came from the NFC North, it was a 10-6 season.
Yeah.
Green Bay won that Super Bowl in 2010 off the back of a 10-6 season. They were the wild card. And yeah, you got to win one more game if that happens. And now it's two more games because of the new format. And it's actually three more games because they added one to the regular season and the playoffs and took away a bye. So you've got more to do than ever before to make it happen, but it's still possible. And I'd love for you guys to be. Wouldn't that be a cool first Super Bowl story? Counted out halfway through the year. McCarthy he basically needed a miracle, and it happened against Seattle, not against Green Bay.
Well, the Viking team surrounding McCarthy is good enough. If McCarthy figures it out, McCarthy not only threw several balls He didn't complete a pass, by the way, in the second half yesterday until their final drive of the second half. He was 0 for everything. And he had 5 drops.
Ouch.
He had 5 drops yesterday. So, I mean, they were balls that were thrown pretty hard at weird distances, but they were still dropped. So his receivers are not helping him out. I told my friend of mine, I said, I think he's so inaccurate that when the ball actually is accurate, it surprises him a little bit, and they're not ready to catch it because there's a rhythm to the passing game. And if you don't deliver the ball where a receiver's expecting it and then it comes, I mean, there's just a certain pattern of it's like a catcher behind the plate. You throw a curveball a certain way every time, and all of a sudden now you throw it a little different with a little different break or a different location, and all of a sudden the thing ends up, you know, behind him at the backstop. So.
Right. I think if we knew a lot more about how the human brain worked, we would know who to blame in those moments. But like, just like with Love and the receivers yesterday, I think there were about 5 drops or so, and they were critical. Dobbs had 2 of them, like in the first half, and it was starting to look really weird because this season we've gotten used to more sure hands, and I almost wonder if Jordan Love was accounting for the wind while the receivers were failing to do so. There's parts of our mind that we don't get, you know, when they say don't aim the baseball, just throw it, because it's more accurate when you don't try to make it accurate. You just look where you want to. Like the amount of work and millions of dollars we'd have to make for a targeting system to do exactly what the human mind does, just throwing a baseball in the front yard. It's been billions of dollars of weapons, yeah, research and physics and calculations that, like, for us to actually do the math on paper would take years just to throw one baseball. So, like, if anything goes, that's to the point, if anything goes awry, if there's a gust of wind, even if it's steady from right to left and Love is factoring for it and Dobbs is not, like, there's a part of your brain that's failing to do its job when you try to catch a ball in,
yeah,
the wind.
With football going to a 17-game schedule, and now in a couple of years it's going to be 18. It's going to be a 20-week season with 18 games is the talk in the NFL. But with the season being longer, I really believe that players are coached, are that it's mentioned during practices and team philosophies that we have to be healthy at the end of the year. We have to be healthy in week 15, 16, 17 in the playoffs. Because I see players that play differently at different times of the season. I see receivers ducking hits mid-season sometimes. I think there's a verbiage with certain teams that they tell players, it's important for you to be on the field in week 17. When you see that big hit coming, don't take it. Don't take that extra yard to get hit really hard. We need you at the end of the year. We'll wait and do that later.
Yeah.
I just get that feeling because you look at some of the linemen, you look at some of the receivers, and they're just doing things. They're just like, why didn't you turn it this – it just seems like they're trying to stay healthy.
I know the phrase that gets thrown around often is business decision. That usually is used in the context of a single player kind of not going for it all. I think Cam Newton notably not diving for a couple fumbles comes to mind near the end of his career. He kind of very visibly looked at a fumble and then kind of hopped away from it. Like, no, because there's about to be 8 other dudes right there. Business decision. I'm going to, like, money doesn't pay for everything, and a concussion's expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I can't say I've noticed the general trend, but I'm definitely going to keep my eyes peeled more. I haven't. I'm so distracted trying to see if it's cover 2 or cover 3 or if it's Tampa 2. Man, like, I am drowning trying to drink from the fire hose of all the info, and I don't have the money to pay for all 22 films, so I'm just watching the TV camera, which is terrible. Like, yeah, it's maybe next year I'll be able to tell if this conspiracy is afoot.
Can. That's McCarthy's new thing, by the way, is can. And by the way, the Vikings went with really quick snap counts this week after 8 illegal procedure pre-snap penalties last week. They just said, you know what, we're not going to give you time to forget what the snap is. They got up in the line, they went right away. Let's just go.
Speaking of, there's been a couple times now. I think last week there was rumors circulating that people might be simulating snap counts, you know, that the opposing defenses might be replicating J.J. McCarthy's voice, you know, shouting at the line. However, most of those accusations forget that every single player is on camera and there's a microphone on every play. True. And we've yet to hear or see a simulated snap count. So when you hear a coach say, yeah, they were clapping, trying to get us to jump, it's on video and it hasn't happened yet.
More of the gray area coming up after our twice an hour news and sports update.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Facing mounting pressure from his own party, President Trump now is telling House Republicans it's okay if they vote to release the full Epstein files. That vote expected tomorrow. The FAA lifting all the flight restrictions put in place during the government shutdown. As new numbers show, it could be a record Thanksgiving for travel.
On the roads, 73 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles for Thanksgiving, easily beating last year. At the airport, 6 million will climb aboard. And if you're one of them,
keep in touch with your airline,
says travel industry analyst Henry Hartevelt.
Monitor your reservation to make sure it hasn't been canceled or changed.
He says the end of the government shutdown doesn't mean the automatic end of flight disruptions. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Novo Nordisk, maker of Ozempic and Wegovy, has announced that those popular weight loss drugs will cost only $199 a month for people paying out of pocket. After a few months, however, the cost will jump. This is ABC News.
State and local news with News Director Austin Brume on 98Q Country.
Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values, visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. Heating up with a fireplace or a wood stove? Burning the right wood, the right way, in the right appliance will protect your home, health, and the air you breathe. You can learn more at DHS.wisconsin.gov. Saturday, November 22nd at 8 p.m., there is a pie auction at South Fork Bar and Grill. They do ask that you please start bringing your pies in at 2 p.m., though. Hunters are welcome. And the Lugerville School/Community Center Committee thanks you very much. Following Tuesday, December 2nd at 2 p.m., there's going to be a gun raffle, also at South Fork Bar and Grill. Tickets are $5 each or 5 for 20, and winners are subject to federal background check, and you must be 18 years old to enter. Need not be present to win, and prizes may be substituted for a prize of equal value. This is going to feature such prizes as a Ruger Mini 14 Stainless, a Hawk and Black Powder Buffalo Rifle, a Benelli Stoger Coach Gun, a Charles Dolly 12-gauge, and a Gammo Adult Air Rifle. There's also going to be a 1-2-man ground camo hunting blind, a 14MP trail cam wide view, and a homemade quilt. This raffle will be benefiting the Lugerville School/Community Center. Once again, this is taking place with the pie auction Saturday, November 22nd at 8 p.m., and the gun raffle Tuesday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. All over at South Fork Bar and Grill in Lugerville on Highway F. This week is Winter Weather Awareness Week. Isabella Nieto has more.
There were 96 cold-related deaths in the state during the winter months of 2024 to 2025. That's according to preliminary State Department of Health Services data. State Health Officer Paula Tran, in a statement, said to prepare for winter weather, Wisconsin residents should prepare an emergency kit and supplies before the severe weather happens. Visit the Ready Wisconsin webpage for tips on what to include in your emergency kit. I'm Isabella Nieto for Civic Media News.
I'm Austin Brume, and this has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua is now Minocqua Chevrolet, 100% locally owned and proud to serve the North Woods. With reliable service and hometown values, Minocqua Chevrolet stands out. They offer a full synthetic oil change for an everyday low price of just $49.95. And there's always a great selection of new 2025 Chevrolet models on the lot. Treating customers the way they want to be treated. It's a great place to do business. Visit Minocqua Chevrolet at Highway 51 South or online at MinocquaCars.com.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball at the Kohl Center. Number 24th ranked Wisconsin hosts the Cougars from Southern Illinois at Edwardsville. The Badgers 3-0 so far. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Lakers 119-95 after back-to-back games with the Hornets. But Giannis says that's no excuse for their sluggish performance.
It's part of the game. It's part of the NBA season. You got to get ready for that. Got to prep mentally, exercise in the off-season so you're able to play back-to-back.
NFL, the Packers, with a 27-20 win over the New York Giants. The running back, Josh Jacobs, undergoing more tests after suffering an injury to his left knee. Backup Emmanuel Wilson with a nice 11-yard touchdown run in the first half. I asked him what he saw on that play.
What I seen was I was just reading the linebacker, and then it was an open gap to the right, but I just stepped to the right and then hit the hole straight down the middle and then just seen it part.
That's Packers running back Emmanuel Wilson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Glenn Stankel, owner of Complete Rain Gutters, has had his mine in the gutter for over 30 years. Trust the expert. Call 715-499-4216 or visit CompleteRainGutter.com for your free quote today.
No matter where you are in life, we're here for you. Marshfield Clinic primary care teams offer the kind of care you need when and where you need it. Marshfield Clinic. Life is calling. Go with confidence.
Quiet down. Here she comes.
Shh. Surprise! Your accountant just emailed to say your quarterly taxes are way higher than you were expecting.
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Also, your favorite employee is leaving. They're going to pursue their dream of being a veterinarian.
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
It is going to be a mostly sunny one today. Our high right around 42 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the upper teens to low 20s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, almost exactly like today, mostly sunny with a high of 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 13.
Could the cheese graters go
tied for first place in fantasy football?
Yeah,
the cheese graters. I'm
thinking of a chant.
Chop them, slice them.
I'm weighing my options
on the cheese graters.
All right, I'll come up with something. Cheese graters, Gray's fantasy football team 7-3, tied for first place. Congratulations.
Hit him with the wheel. Yeah. I'm in trouble though, because today, this week's is not resolved, and I've got a 15 point lead right now, and my opponent has a quarterback still to play, and I've got a tight end and a punter.
Oh.
So it's a pretty solid chance. If things go the way they averagely do, I'm actually going to lose this week. We'll see.
All right. See how that goes. I've won once. Thank you. Stumbled upon a show. My wife and I ran out of shows to watch. We were watching. We like to watch Bering Sea Gold, and we like to watch Deadliest Catch.
Oh.
All right, I know. We've been hooked on the personalities for years, and we'll go like a year without watching it, and then we'll just binge watch like a whole year. But we ran out now. I don't know why I like them, because they're all the same thing. Every year is the same thing. A little drama here and there, and how much gold do you got? Slowly poured onto the scale and all that good stuff. But now we have stumbled across... And I don't even know why my wife selected this, because I have heard about Better Call Saul for many years.
Oh.
But I've never watched it.
Never?
No.
Oh,
I watched,
man.
We watched Breaking Bad. We watched that. I haven't been the same since, but we did watch the whole thing, Breaking
Bad. So you
Bad.
Have watched that, but not Better Call Saul.
And I didn't realize that Better Call Saul was a prequel to Breaking Bad until we were a few episodes in. And then I realized, okay, that's why they're not calling him Saul yet. They're calling him Sully, whatever they call him.
Jimmy McGill. Slippin' Jimmy,
but the Better Call Saul series is, I'll recommend it because it's not overly graphic. It's not, there's not a lot of swearing. There's not sex and all that stuff. It's for TV, for, where did it originally air? On cable or what? I don't know who originally
had it. I think it's actually a Netflix series originally.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty clean show for an internet-based show. It's
right, there is a little of all of that, but far reduced from even Breaking Bad
such,
which was kind of surprising given the shared creative stylings and the shared staff.
Yeah, but it's one of those shows where you find yourself cheering for the slime ball. Why am I liking? Why am I cheering for this guy? He is the slime of the slime. Why am I doing this?
Well, I mean, you want that feeling? Go watch There's Something About Mary.
Oh yeah,
go watch There's Something About Mary, and especially if you've never seen it before, just don't think about it too hard. Just watch the movie and enjoy it. And Brett Favre is there at the end, and yeah, Cameron Diaz is pretty, and it was the late '90s. And then you zoom out, and you're like. He just stalked that woman. just, and like, they frame it as though all the other stalkers are creepy and weird for chasing after this. Nope. We just happen to be following after the likable one played by Ben Stiller. Like, he's just stalker number four. Like, and forget that one of them's Brett Favre. Like, come on.
Favre. Yeah, Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre.
But so my wife and all wife and I are currently binge watching Better Call Saul, which was it's 20 years old? I don't know.
No, not that old. More like 10. By this point, I think it finished around that 8 to 10 years ago range. Breaking Bad, I think, ended about 15 years ago or so, maybe a little less than that. So it was kind of right off the heels of Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. I don't think they coexisted at the same time.
Yeah, so we're going through that. We watched a couple episodes, and now it's to the point, you know that you're hooked on a show when you get up in the morning and you think about what you have to do, you know, mentally. You're making that checklist of things you have to do today, and what crosses your mind is, I may be able to watch a couple episodes of that. Then you know you're hooked. They got you.
The show, if a show can popularize the word chicanery, you should check it out.
Binge watching is a great. I don't know how we ever went week to week. When I was a kid, we literally would have Fonzie halfway up the ski jumping the shark, and the to be continued, and you'd have to wait 1 week. One whole week to find out what happens next.
I actually think we need that back. I think we need to return to that.
Yeah.
I completely think so. There's a couple shows we watch that still release on a weekly basis, and I think we enjoy them so much more.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get to the point where you're watching a show that is current, right, current, and you are forced to wait another week or so, there is joy in that. You're right.
Just in a basic sense, and not to get too deep into it, but I think we are survivalist creatures in a world of abundance, and that's kind of used against us in a lot of cases, and binge watching is not as good for us as it feels like it is. Like, sure, spend a Saturday, but like, we've been binge watching, Rachel and I, probably on a semi-consistent basis for over 10 years now, given how long Netflix has been available to each of us. I don't know. I won't speak for her or anybody else, but I've definitely seen a growing sentiment that, yeah, I think, especially with Netflix canceling shows that people love, well, they're canceling them because they're not being rewatched daily. It's like, okay, even though they're getting fantastic ratings in weekly viewing, that doesn't sell as many ads as people rewatching The Office 18 stinking times all the way through.
Yeah.
So it's like, it creates this viewer environment that rewards things that, yeah, okay, if I feel like it, then I've got all the binge watching I want. But Bake Off, Great British Bake Off, only releases once per week, and then we rewatch it because we want it to last longer, and that rewatch is never as good, whether we're watching an old season or a new, because we can just do it all at once.
Who would have thought that we would have taken the simple process of preparing food and turned it into what it is now on TV with the Food Network and the competitive cooking shows? I guess it's because people can grasp it a little bit. They're like, well, I could probably make that, or I got a recipe that's better than that. I think there's people have a connection with those cooking shows, right?
And there are a few things that are relatable to everybody. Most things that everybody can speak about are either boring or offensive. We're talking about weather and maybe religion from across the globe. So we can't touch those topics. Let's touch the one topic that everybody can touch on.
Food.
Yeah, there it is. That's it. That's the whole list. Yeah. Like, that's, and we can compare, and we can engage in a healthy form of tribalism. You know, I can pretend my food is better than yours. Same ingredients, slightly different temperatures.
You want to have a food discussion with someone. We had, when I was at the food pantry this past weekend, at least a 15-minute discussion about a cheese that we had at the food pantry that was really hot. It was spicy hot. So everybody at some point weighed in on whether they would use it, whether they did use it, whether they tasted it, how hot it was, and compared it to something else that they had in their life that wasn't that hot. For me personally, I was not a part of the conversation, because if it's spicy, just give me ketchup. I'm not a spicy person. I'm not a spicy food person. But spicy food is a topic that can just, boom, there you go.
Totally. You're totally gone. It's so polarizing, but still you're in that relatable category of food. For my part, I've been an aspiring spice enjoyer. I haven't been able to, because I realized at like 20, I was like, Mom, you didn't even use black pepper. Like, what did you do? I'm scared of the world now.
That's true. And I grew up with that too, because I remember as a teenager, I went to my grandpa's apartment and he peppered up the sausage and the potatoes. And I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like, what is this exotic spice? It's like, it's the other shaker on the table, you fool.
Yeah, Yeah, it's pepper. You're right. And I'm the same way. I grew up, and I think how, for a lot of people, how you approach and how you enjoy spicy food later in life might be relatable to what happened in the very young years.
Yes, and I've heard stories about people who can kind of condition themselves, you know, like the guy with the poison in The Princess Bride. I've spent up years building a tolerance to iocane powder. That's basically what I'm trying to do now, and it seems to be working. Like, we've stepped up the scale. I ramped up black pepper in just about everything. Then I grabbed a little bit of paprika, and I was like, that's not actually that much spicier. But recently, I hit the button without meaning to. We got a cheap container of cayenne pepper, and that stuff is real. So, like, that's where I'm at now on the spicy scale. Black pepper used to stand out to me. Now cayenne pepper is kind of taking its place, and I'm working my way up. Also, if you're gonna make an omelet, just throw a little cumin in there and put some hot sauce on top. It's such an easy and delicious way to step it up without going too far. And you can scrape the hot sauce back off if you need
to.
And
I think as people get older, if your stomach and your system can handle it, the taste buds kind of wear down a little bit. So as you get older, I think people like a little bit of zing in there.
Yes.
A little bit, as long as your stomach can handle it an hour later, you're good.
You ghost chili people are still absolutely categorically insane, though, and I won't hear otherwise. Like, that's pepper spray in a handy little nature package.
Ghost chili, or like
Pepper X or Reaper chili, like these absurd peppers that are being crossbred in outdoor laboratories for the sake of hurting my face. No thanks.
We should get Pastor Steve Jetland in here from Family Worship Center, because they do a yearly fundraiser over there where he has to eat some kind of crazy hot wings.
I know for a fact that I'd be the screaming and maybe calling the ambulance crowd, because I am that sensitive. Maybe check in 10 years when my taste buds have burned themselves off in my pursuit of that exact thing.
The joy of food shows. There's a lot of them. There's a whole the Food Network, and there's a lot of other shows beyond that.
Well, and soon you'll be able to Google a show and AI will generate it for you, and it didn't exist before you searched it. Watch out.
Okay.
That happens now with t-shirts. Did you know if you Google a t-shirt to see if it exists, a website will actually create it to give you that as a result and sell you a shirt that didn't exist until you searched it.
Wow.
Yeah, all it's got to do is find the logo, the most likely logo for the thing you searched, and put it on a t-shirt and sell it to you.
Okay, Joel Karnick and the Morning Show t-shirt. There we go. All right. Do I have to go to a certain t-shirts are ready for pickup?
Well, scroll down a little bit, because the first things you're going to get, but let's see if, like, what you're going to look for is a...
Yeah, it's probably in there under a function.
I think you've actually got your Google set in such a way that all the shopping links are gone. Yeah, there's like, it's not trying to sell you anything. That's marvelous. But it was a thing for a long time that, like, and it comes in the form of Facebook ads too. Like, here's a picture with a saying that's relevant to Pike Lake or Park Falls, and it's like a long saying that seems like it's vaguely relevant. It's like, wait a minute, this is just an auto-generated string of text that stole from the Facebook page it posted to. Like, a robot posted this, a person hit a go button, and there's like 300 robots out there trying to sell you t-shirts for your hometown.
Because
you're on the same Facebook. Like, it's frightening how easily, and I mean, I was definitely being hyperbolic when I said a TV show would be generated when you search it, but that's more possible now than ever before.
If there's enough searches for it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Also, just to declare a stance here and be a little soapboxy, I will not allow AI-generated music on my show. I'm guessing you'll be in a similar case, but there's been rumors about a country song generated by AI charting, and it's kind of real. Like, you can find it, you can hear it, and it sounds kind of funky. Like, you can hear that it's a little bit off, but it's nowhere near us. I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. So.
Oh, Christmas lights are starting to pop up. I put up a couple of Christmas decorations over the weekend because I needed therapy as I watched the football games yesterday, so I put up a few houses, stumbled upon something. I don't know if this is new or if it's just something I never knew about, but I have some outdoor lights that I purchased a couple of months ago, and it came with a built-in timer. And you know what it has? It has a button on it. Have you seen this? It has a button.
No.
You hit the button once, it turns it on. You hit the button again, it'll stay on for 6 hours and turn off. You hit the button again, it'll shut it off. So I have a set of lights where I just hit the button twice. It stays on 6 hours, and it comes back on at the same time every day for 6 hours. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And the lights cost me like $15. I mean, it was crazy. It's just like, this is what we were looking for when the technology world boomed 30, 40 years ago. Right here, where I can hit a button. I'm not unplugging lights outside. I'm not doing these funky timers that are on the wall. Just like, what? I put one here, one, I click it over. These timers are, yeah, they're too difficult.
This is going to save Clark from outing half the neighborhood and burning the other half down. This is great.
All right, Gray. Have a terrific Monday. Good luck to the Cheese Graters fantasy football team today.
Man, I'm trying to go in the morning.
Trying to go 8-3, right?
It could happen. It's theoretically possible.
All right, news to come in just a moment here. Thanks for tuning in. Another edition of the Gray Area every Monday morning, right around 8 o'clock.
Cabin Creations in Phillips is your one-stop shop this Christmas. You'll find gifts for everyone on your list. We have toys and books, smart wool and darn tough socks, cozy sweatshirts, Life is Good t-shirts, salsas, jams, puzzles, candles, and more. And of course, you'll find plenty of beautiful seasonal decor to make your home festive this holiday season.